After a couple of weeks out, we return to the Exodus story again this morning. Remember the story so far? God has revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And even after that, Moses was a bit reluctant to go back to Egypt. And remember, he had all those excuses. I'm a nobody. I don't have the answers. And the ultimate one that we often use is, please send somebody else. And the amazing thing is, we read God got a bit angry with Moses, but then he showed them the power he had. And remember the amazing thing he did? He got his staff, and his staff turned into a snake, and he had to sort of pick it up by the tail. That was bad enough. But the thing I just cannot fathom is he sort of puts his hand inside his cloak, and his hand comes out leprous. Must have frightened the life out of him. And he says, put your hand back in there, and it gets cleansed again, and he's beginning to see the awesome power of God. Still a bit reluctant, but he returns back to Egypt, and probably to his surprise, he sort of shares with his people that the God of their ancestors has revealed himself to him. Probably told them a story about the burning bush and everything that had happened, and surprisingly is, I think, how the people reacted. Look what it said. When they heard that the Lord had come to them and seen how they had been treated cruelly, they bowed down and they worshipped, and God was at the center again. And that's a fill-in this morning, that Moses and Aaron were now in a spiritual high. That's the first thing. Apprehensive of going back, apprehensive about what was going to happen. And now all the people are saying, let's praise God, let's sing songs, let's have a good time. So they're now upbeat. Ha! Easy coming back to Egypt now. We're upbeat, we know what's going to happen. And God will liberate them. And God's going to do this soon, and it's going to be great. And the confidence of Moses and Aaron goes high. They've just got to go to Pharaoh. And got to say what God has told them. They even get a message. So they knock on Pharaoh's door. They see Pharaoh. This is what they say. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Now, we know the story, and we tend to sort of underestimate what they have done. They are approaching Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a god. Pharaoh was a god in Egypt. And here's Moses and Aaron saying, well, we want to sort of leave for a week, extended holiday, and worship another god. And whatever Pharaoh was, he wasn't daft, and he thought about it. And Moses should really have guessed what his reaction was going to be. You know, first of all, they're saying, why is this man even speaking to me? I'm the only god they need. The last thing I'm going to let them do is leave their working program, leave everything else, and go for a holiday. Now, Pharaoh's staff management was somewhat directive. He tended to have some kind of directive management. Because he's thinking of a holiday, are you? Thinking of slackening off my building project? Take away their straw. And if you don't make the same quota, I will beat them. I don't know if that still works today in industry, but that's what he says. They're going to do the same thing without the straw, and if not, you're going to get beaten. That's what's going to happen. And the foremen, they knew that couldn't be done. The Hebrew slaves knew that that couldn't be done. And even Pharaoh himself knew that that could not be done. Now, Moses should have been able to predict the reaction of Pharaoh. What he was surprised at was the reaction of the people. Remember, he's just come away from the service. You know, it's been great singing all the songs. How great God is. Our God is an awesome God. They're doing all that kind of stuff. He returns to the same congregation. May the Lord look on you and judge you. You've made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in his hand to kill us. This is in a day. At least I get a week. This is straight afterwards. And I can hear them saying to Moses and Aaron, look at all the trouble you've caused. You're just back. And they forget everything else that has happened. And he says, you've made us obnoxious. You know, things are bad, but they're going to get really bad now. And the whole mood has changed. And the people have turned against Moses. And that's fill-in number two. Being misunderstood is a hard thing to take. I think they just didn't get it with Moses. They thought they were on his side, but they just misunderstood him. He's been sent by God, but he's misunderstood by the people. Let me tell you and save you from a lot of heartache, if you're in any kind of leadership situation, in the church or outside the church, this will happen to you. And at the same time, being misunderstood will just be as hard as it was probably for Moses. You ever been misunderstood by your boss, by those you work with, by your spouse, by your family, misunderstood by your friends? It just happens. And it's a hard thing to take. Oswald Chambers writes in Spiritual Leadership, "The leader must be one who, while welcoming the friendship and support of all who can offer it, has sufficient resources to stand alone even in the face of fierce opposition in the discharge of his responsibilities. He must be prepared to have, at times, no one but God." And more, this is getting a problem in the Church of Scotland. Folk are finding it very hard, if they're trying to swim against the present currents, to carry out what God is saying. Discouraged, disheartened, maybe even a bit angry. But at least Moses got one thing right. The next thing he does is the right thing. He takes this problem to God, and that's fill-in number three. When you're misunderstood, turn to the throne before you use the phone. Because that's what he does. What do? Have a think. Do you rush to your friends or family or anyone who will listen and amass an army so that they can defend your point of view before you take it to God? At least Moses knew that. Probably because he didn't have any army to go to. He didn't have any friends. His family's not here. That's it. His wife went away home. He's there himself. His brother, he's just as clueless. Both of them are going to Pharaoh. But he takes his situation and he pours his situation out to God. Moses returns to the Lord and says, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak, your name has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Now, look how direct the prayer of Moses is to God. Moses doesn't hedge his bets. He doesn't miss God. The people are being treated cruelly, and you've done nothing yet to help them. You said you were going to. You sent me. I was going to liberate them and under all this persecution, and you've done nothing. Now, unless I'm greatly mistaken, that's the kind of prayer that we turn away from. We shy away from that. Can we really talk to God like that? Can we get so angry that we give God a piece of our mind because we're so furious with the situation we're in? We're so furious about what has happened. And this is what Moses does. "You've sent me to do this job. You've told me you're going to do anything. And up until now, I ain't seen anything." He's really saying to God, "Up until now, you're just talk. You've not acted." And that's fill-in number four. What are your angry prayers that you might want to bring to God? Most of us have got one or two angry prayers just sort of sitting there, frightened to maybe say them out loud, but they're in there. And folk can have angry prayers for years, and they can go way back. And then you get good biblical teaching that tells you not to get angry with God. And then you're in a conflict. So you just bury it deep. And the strange thing is, God knows. we always get back to that. You know, God knows. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows what's in there. And really, God, the loving Father, wants it out. And really, when it comes to sort of angry prayers, the Shrek method of prayers is probably the best. Shrek. Anyone not know the Shrek method of prayers? I don't believe you. Yeah, there's one brave person. Anybody else? Two? Yeah. Good. Anyone know the Shrek method of prayers? Come on. Better out than in. So Shrek says, better out than in. You've got to watch more kiddie stuff. I've got to watch more kiddie stuff. Better out than in. And it's what Shrek said. And if you don't know the film, I'm not telling you when he said it. And those who are laughing know the film. But it's the same with prayers. We can keep these things right in there. And there's a part of us that's frightened, because if we express these things to God, is God going to get angry with us? Is God going to leave us or whatever? So we just bury them and we say we're fine. And we're not fine because you promised all this and this is the situation in my life and you've done nothing yet. And you said you were going to. And then we get this sort of funny relationship with God. Can we trust him really? Not Moses. Because when we find ourselves in dire situations, the situation that Moses is in, there's really only two main questions that rattle around in our head. And it's the why questions and the how questions. And most of these angry questions, we can put those words in there. Why me? Why me? And I'm sure we've all got situations, or we can think of other folks' situations where it's a why me? Why them? And then it's the how question. And I think the how question, although we try the sort of why question seems to dominate most of the time, I think the how question is more important, because sometimes there's no answer to the why question, why me? But the how question is, how am I going to cope with this? How do I live for today, never mind tomorrow? How am I going to get through this? And often we find it hard talking about our crisis to God, because sometimes we get that idea when we admit we're in crisis, when we admit we're hanging on with our fingertips, then it's some kind of lack of faith. So we just bury that deep as well and say to people and to God, things are fine. And then we begin to live this lie that slowly begins to eat us from the inside. And the faith that we once professed becomes a sort of technical thing and we lose the relationship. But we've got to remember, as I've said, God knows the questions of our hearts. And God delights when we come running to him, rather than the natural thing. The natural thing is when we're confronted with a situation or a crisis or something that's hard, we run away from God. And some of the great saints of the Bible did the same thing, you know. Elijah, remember Elijah after the prophet of Baal, and he's done all that dancing about and killing off all those folk and sacrificing, and then he realizes how bad it is, and then he runs away, falls into depression. You know. And he does what we all do. I'm the only one that's left here. I'm the only one that cares for this church. I'm the only one that cares about anything else, and the rest of them are just, I don't know what they're doing. And then it's great because God then sort of comes and balances it. Oh, don't you worry. You're no that good, John. I've got a whole bunch of them ready, you know. And that's what he says to us. And that balances it out. God is there. God is alive. God's got a plan. And that's why we've got to get real with these straight prayers. That's why we've got to be real as Moses did. Not turn to our friends primarily. Turn to God and say, God, this is the situation. I might not know how I'm going to get out of it. I've got to share it with you. You've got to hear it. And you've got to act. Because God will act when we run towards him. And fill in number five is, God reveals to Moses what he's going to do. And that's what God does when Moses has sort of vented his spleen in the presence of God. He reveals to Moses what he's going to do. You've said all this. Let me tell you a few things. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand, and he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. It's as if he's saying, Moses, this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to see it. And this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to play your part in it because I will act. And it's going to happen. But that's not the most important thing. I think that's the thing I'd want. If God says to me, it's okay, John, I'll deal with them. Leave them to me. You know? Some of the hardest verses in the Bible for ministers is things that are Romans like, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you want to say, can I just do a wee bit? No, you can't. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we want God to act even if it's just to vindicate us. You know. And with as much humility as I can muster, I will say to you, told you. And God says, that's not the important thing. He says, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. But more importantly is the next thing. Moses reveals himself to who he is. In chapter 6, we didn't read chapter 6, read it when you get home, because Moses is really being taken back to the burning bush. We get this, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, verse 2. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out, verse 6. I will give the land to you because I am the Lord. Moses, you're worried about yourself and your people, and your focus is in the wrong place. You're forgetting who I am. And remember how you revealed to Moses that I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am this God who has always existed. Moses, you're again on holy ground. Yes, you're up against it, but you're as much on holy ground as you were before that burning bush. And you're speaking again to the Lord, to Yahweh. And that's what you've got to remember. And that's what God will do for us. And that's fill-in number 6. God reminds Moses who he is. And he'll do the same for us when we go with that. Remember who I am. I am the God of the burning bush. And the amazing thing is this title, Lord, is given to Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus is Lord, as God the Father is Lord. He is the Lord and he reigns on high. And that's why we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus. And it's a lovely verse. You've got to sort of memorize this one. A super verse from Hebrews 12. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that sort of science, a bit of hard work. That's all the running and stuff. But the way we're going to do it, the writer of Hebrews says, is fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author or the pioneer of our faith. That's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to get through the crisis you're in, or you might be very soon. It's where you fix your eyes on this Yahweh who says, I can do it. Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that's why it's so important for Moses at this point in his journey to see who God is. Because the race that God has set before him is not an easy one. It's not an easy one. He's revealed to Moses what he's going to do. He's told Moses to go and see Pharaoh. God knows it's going to be a terrible journey for Moses. He says, but I've set that before you. And that's why you've got to know who I am. Because when things do go from bad to worse in our lives, one of the things we do is we give God a little time, maybe not enough time, but we give him a little time, and then somehow we say, I want that control back. I will decide what path I'm going to take now. You said you were going to act, and I don't see you acting, and I've not got all that time to wait. It's gone 12. So I'm going to take it into my own hands. I'm going to act and I'm going to do it. And that's the worst thing we can do. Because as God said to Moses, he says to us this morning, remember who I am. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. The Lord who appeared to Abraham, the Lord who will rescue you, the Lord who will set you free, the Lord who will give you the land of his promise. I am the Lord. And then he ends with this crazy sentence. Tell Pharaoh everything I've told you. And the story gets worse. Amen.